Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate those selections, and thank you for that special, Mrs. Mays. What a blessing. Really, a lot of those, not going to take the time to go into it, but I was just thinking about how most, if not maybe all of those songs really play into the message today, really speak into the message. And so I appreciate that. I always appreciate the Lord working those kinds of things out. You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. And as you're doing that, I'll just say this. I'd like to go to the Lord one more time. I'm nervous, in case you can't tell. And I would just like to ask Him to take control and to guide the words and to teach us from His Word today. So will you pray with me? Maybe you could pray for me as I pray. Father, we come before You, and Father, I just want to ask You one more time that You would just have complete control of Your words today. As we look at what Your Word says and see how we can apply it to our lives, I just want to ask that You would make Your words clear and that You would give me the ability to speak clearly and in an understanding way and in a very accurate way. May Your Holy Spirit do the teaching and do the convicting and the encouraging this morning. And we just trust that You will be honored and glorified now as we look at Your Word. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. We actually aren't going to look at all the way through verse 15. That was my original plan. God had some other things in mind as I was studying this. I have this little problem called fear of man that Pastor Shipe doesn't seem to have. And I realized if I go all the way through verse 15, we're not going to get out of here for a while. We're actually going to look specifically today at through verse number 11, verse 8 through 11. Excuse me. It's an exciting passage. God is going to talk to us today about some God-given results or blessings, maybe I should say, or gifts that every believer can have, that every believer has available to them. Whenever we choose to live for the Lord Jesus Christ as believers, as children of God, and we choose to pursue obedience and pursue Him and make every effort towards that, there are some results and blessings that He will make available and gives to every believer. And it's exciting to talk about Him. But as we get into this, what I'm actually going to do, and I want to make sure that my words are very clear, I'm actually going to start in verse number 1 because it's important to set the context here so that we're all on the same page of where we're going. I've had the opportunity to speak here on Sunday mornings occasionally. We've been working our way through 2 Peter. We've started in verse 1 and we've made our way all the way down to verse 8. Now, how many of you remember what we talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1? Okay, 1. That makes me feel really, really good. And and we definitely need to go back and set the context here, okay? But right before we do that, I think it's important to point out as we start to get into what these gifts are and how they are attained by a believer, it's important to point out this biblical concept that God talks about of work. Work. God has built this concept of work into every aspect of our lives, so apparently He gives a high value to it. And it's not just in our physical lives. Okay, yes, we know that He wants us to physically work. God does. And He wants us to provide and to toil and all of those things, absolutely. But He doesn't just keep that for our physical life. He also has that built into our spiritual lives as well. This concept of work. It's so important that at a young age, if possible, if at all possible at a young age, that we learn this concept of work. Because God has it built into basically every aspect of our lives. I joke with the teenagers once in a while. in very much a joking way, but I'm like, some of you need to understand that, some of you need to realize this at a young age, that the sun comes up slowly. Some of you are in bed so long that you think it magically just appeared up there, and that's kind of what you think. Well, that's not the case, and of course, I'm just joking around. But we need to get up and get to work, because God has this idea of work built into every aspect of our lives, including the spiritual life, this concept of work. Changing and becoming like Christ is work for a believer. And it's hard work for a believer to change and become like Christ. It would be so much easier, wouldn't it? And honestly, I kind of wish God would do this, but He's not going to do this. It would be so much easier if when I became a Christian, and whenever I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and He saved me and made me one of His children, I wish He just had like a magic wand that He waved. And you know, had some kind of saying, you know, like, Ali Kazap, and I'm a perfect Christian. But that's not what He's going to do, and that's obviously not what He has done, because there are no perfect Christians in this world. He has it built in a different way. And for us to change, I love the song today, change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, make me more like You. May I be like You. As I change, it takes work. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I want to be very, very clear. I'm not talking about working for salvation. Salvation, it takes no work. Salvation is a total gift from God to you and to me. He has done all that work. Everything that was needed to give you and I eternal life, He accomplished all that. That's a gift from Him. But after we become Christians, He gives us a responsibility. If we are to change and become more and more like Him, He gives us a responsibility that He wants us to do. And that is to pursue an obedient life towards Him. And that takes a lot of work. That just doesn't happen by sitting back and just acting all nonchalant about life. That takes work to get up and to make every effort to pursue an obedient life towards Him. And Philippians chapter 2 talks about this. Talks about this concept. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And basically, here's what he's saying there. Jesus Christ has saved you. You have believed on Him for salvation. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. He has raised you to spiritual life. Now, He gives you a responsibility. What He has already worked in you, now you work it out. He's given you every ability to change and to become more and more and more like Him. He's given you that ability now by His own power, and He wants you to work at it. But now, let me just be clear about this. He goes right into the next verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, and you know what He does? He takes all the credit for it. And how about that? Do you like working and not being given credit for the result? Does that suit anybody? It doesn't suit me very much a lot of times, but that's the way it is here. Remember, this is what he says then in verse 13, but remember this, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. In other words, He gives us a responsibility to work out our salvation. And He will bless that work. He will bless that work whenever we pursue an obedient life toward Him. He will bless that, and He will do a work in our hearts and change us and make us more and more like Himself. He is the one who does the changing. He is the one. I take no credit for the man I am. Some of you are like, well, you shouldn't, because that would be really, really bad. We take no credit for who we are, for who we have become. God has done all the work. God has done all the changing, but He does that changing by blessing the effort that we put into it as His children. So it's important to realize that as we start to look at this. And as we do this, as we pursue Christ's likeness, as we give every effort towards that, which is what 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, as we give every effort towards this, God will bless. God will work change in my life and in my heart. Make me more and more like His Son. And from that will come these results and blessings that are going to come into my life, that are going to be produced in my life, which we're about to talk about. So that's just to set the stage. These God-given results and blessings that will be true of my life as I pursue a Christ-like life, as I pursue an obedient life towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down there in 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's begin in verse number 1. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. And let me just stop here and say, what He said right there is exactly what we just talked about. Whenever He says, whenever you study that verse out, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain first to life. In other words, He has totally done and accomplished everything that it took for you and I to have eternal life. He did it all. By His divine power, He accomplished everything. But His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain first to life and then to godliness, which is something else we just talked about. By His divine power entering into my life, He has now made it possible for me to be a godly person. He has now made it possible for me to pursue godliness and to bless that and change my life. By His divine power, He has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason. In other words, whenever you get to verse 5 and he says, for this very reason, here's what he means. Because of everything that I just said. Go back, look at everything I just said. Because of all of this stuff, because of everything that God has done for you, because of everything that He has accomplished for you in order to give you eternal life, to make it possible for you to become saved, because of the power that He makes available to you to work in your life and change your life and make you into someone who looks more and more like Him, because He has made His precious and very great promises available to you, because He has made you a partaker of divine nature, because of all of that stuff that God has done for you and made available to you, he says, now, because of all that, here's your responsibility. Let that be a motivation to you to carry out your responsibility now. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith, to supplement your salvation. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Here's those verses in a nutshell. God has done and given us everything we need by His divine power. And now by His divine power, He says, now I'm giving you a responsibility that I will bless and do the work in your life if you will but choose to obey me. And add these things to your faith. In other words, live righteously. This is my responsibility that I am giving to you to work on. And if we will do this, if we will live this righteous life that He has called us to live, that He gives us the ability to live. We don't have the ability without Him giving it to us. If we will choose to obey, there are a couple of blessings now. A couple of blessings, a couple of results that every believer can have come true in their life. And these are exciting. These are really exciting. And I hope as we look at this that maybe you can look at this and say, man, these are true about me. And and be encouraged by that, and see these at work in your life. See God at work in your life and giving you these things. Maybe at the end of the sermon you'll say, "Man, I got things to work on." But whatever the case is, these are exciting to talk about. So let's talk about now, let's go to verse 8, and let's see here the very first one. Point number one today is God will give the blessing of spiritual productivity. God will give the blessing of spiritual productivity. Look down there with me at verse number 8. "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." For if these qualities, what qualities does he mean? He means the ones he just mentioned. Here in verses 5 through 7. If these qualities are yours and are increasing. Now let me stop there just for a minute. Here's where we get the power of God coming into effect here, okay? And are increasing. This word increasing is translated from the Greek word plenozao. And it carries the idea of to superabound, to have too much, to almost have too much of this stuff. Okay, it's the power of God working in your life as you pursue these things, as you and I as believers walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and make every effort to pursue what He wants us to pursue, this righteous life, and adding these things to our faith, God will bless that, and He will increase these things in your life to the point where you basically almost have too much of them. You ever had too much of something? This is kind of the idea here. And the idea is that you have so much that it's just overflowing in you no matter what circumstance you find yourself in. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter who is talking to you, no matter what people say, no matter what people do to you, you've got so much of this stuff going on because you've been pursuing these things. You've been walking, doing your very best to pursue what God wants you to pursue in this righteous life and adding these things to your faith. He has blessed that and has increased them in your life so that no matter what's going on, it just like overflows out of you. That's just what happens. It's kind of like this cup of water right here. There's water in here. There's nothing else but water in here. And if I stumble around, I'm going to come down here with Joel, actually. Joel, you ever had too much of something? Yeah? You want too much of this? Well, I'll tell you, I just love you. And man, whenever I'm around you, man, these things just are overflowing out of my life. They really are. Just a lot like this water right here. Oh, excuse me. Did I get you? Oh, good. I'm going to take a drink now. No matter who I'm around, no matter what kind of circumstance I find myself in, you understand what I'm saying? This is God's plan for us. This is His blessing in our lives as we pursue the things that He wants us to pursue. This is just what's going to overflow out of our lives. And let's see what these qualities do now. As He increases them in our lives, as He blesses the work that we have obeyed Him in doing, and He blesses that and works changes in our lives, and these things are what's flowing out of us in our circumstances and with the people that we're around, no matter what, here's what the Bible says. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me talk about these two words for a second. Ineffective is translated from the Greek word argos, and it carries the idea of simply being idle or being useless. Useless is the right word there. Okay? Whenever he talks about being ineffective, it just means it keeps you from being useless. And the word unfruitful is translated from the Greek word arkapos, which carries the idea, basically means unproductiveness. Useless and unproductive. Okay? Do you realize that as a child of God, someone who is saved and has the Holy Spirit indwelling him, as a child of God, we all have the potential to be a servant, child of the Lord, who is a useful and productive tool in the work of His ministry. Do you understand that? Do we understand that? As these things are overflowing in our lives because we have worked at pursuing them, And by the way, whenever it says make every effort to add these things to your faith, what that literally means in the Greek is make haste. In other words, make it your number one priority. Pursue this. Hurry up about it. This needs to be your number one thing right here in life. Are we pursuing this? Are we pursuing these things? Are you pursuing these things as a child of God? Or is the rest of life crowding out this number one priority that needs to be in the forefront for all of us as children of God? Because when we do, the blessing of God comes. The work that God does in our hearts happens. And He makes us into tools that are useful and productive in His ministry. Let me tell you a story just to try and illustrate this a little bit. I'm somewhat embarrassed about this story. It's always the embarrassing stories that kind of drive the point home. So I'll tell you this. This happened just last month. I was at my brother-in-law's house for Thanksgiving. And he came to me and said, "Hey, I'd like to rake my yard. I'd like to clean up my yard here before the thing." We got there a couple of days early. He said, "Hey, before the holiday, I'd like to rake my yard, get it all cleaned up. Will you help me?" And being the wonderful brother-in-law I am, I said, "I would love to help you." And so the day comes, we both go out. It's late in the morning, kind of heading into the afternoon. And he's got trees all over his yard. So, I mean, his yard is just covered with leaves. And he gets out probably half a dozen rakes or so. And it took me about 2 minutes to figure out that okay, we got half a dozen rakes. Can anyone relate to this? We got half a dozen rakes. One of them works. Can anybody relate to that? And so I get stuck, listen to me, I get stuck using a rake that does not work. Have you ever got stuck raking a yard with a rake that was obviously not built to rake leaves? Has that ever happened? All right, yeah. So I'm doing this, and I'm trying my best for a little while. I really am, okay? I'm trying my best. And so you know, you're raking the yard, and and you know, you're trying to get, what, 30, 40 leaves at a time. I'm getting 6 or 7. And you know, it's just kind of letting a trail there. You know how frustrated that makes a person? Okay? And so I'm trying to do this. And this is why I'm so embarrassed. This really proves my immaturity sometimes, I think. I waited, like a little 10-year-old, I waited for him to put his rake down. And when he did, I ain't gonna lie, I made a beeline for that thing. And I picked it up, and he went off to do, I think he probably went to take the tarp of leaves around the side of the house to dump them on the big pile we were making out there, or that he was making, because I wasn't being much help of anything. And I start raking, and I'm like, okay, now I can live with this, you know. You're being productive, right? And so, you know, I'm like I'm raking, oh, this is going great, this is going awesome. And then I made a vital, vital error. What did I do? I put it down because I had to move a tarp too. And so I put it down. And guess what? He wasn't loving life either. I turned around, and to my horror, he had made a beeline for it. And I lost my rake again. I felt like a 10-year-old. I still feel like a 10-year-old because I'd like to say that was the first time that exchange happened. It wasn't. Okay? That happened 3-4 times throughout the afternoon. Why didn't I want that rake? Why didn't I want to use it? Because it didn't work. Because it was useless, right? Basically. Because it was basically useless. Because it was extremely unproductive. I was getting nothing done. Okay? We can be children of God. Listen to me. We can be children of God. We have the ability. God has given us this gift if we will but pursue this righteous life that He wants us to pursue and to work at. He will give us this ability. He will give us this blessing as He changes us and makes us more like Himself, and as these character qualities of Jesus Christ are overflowing in our lives, He will give us the blessing of being a useful and productive tool in the hands of God to do the work of the ministry. What an awesome, awesome truth. And this plays out in so many practical ways in our lives. It really does. The Bible says, I'm just going to give you two examples here real quick for sake of time, but there are so many things you can come up with that this could play out practically, and maybe you could think of things that have happened in your life where this has played out practically in your life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. One of the character qualities, if you read that list back in verses 5 through 7, one of the character qualities that God wants us to supplement our faith with is this word love. And he wants us to pursue it so that he will bless that and work in our lives and just increase that in our hearts to the point where it's just pouring out of us. And he wants us, and when that happens, it can overflow into the relationship that we have with our wives, which is the relationship God wants us to have and always intended for our wife to have. A loving relationship with the same love that Christ loved the church with, from a husband to his wife. That's being productive. That's being useful in the ministry of God. Let me say this. So much to the point where maybe this is just overflowing out of you into your relationship with your wife. So much to the point where, get this, maybe another couple will, perhaps another couple sees it in you. And decides to approach because they see this different relationship. And they approach and maybe they say something like this, you know, our relationship, it's not like it's fallen apart or anything, and we're not going to leave each other or anything, but there's definitely something different about your relationship than ours, and we want whatever it is that's going on in yours. Will you please sit down and talk to us? Now you have an opportunity to disciple another couple and to teach them about the kind of relationship God desires for them to have. That's being productive. That's being useful in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. The Bible says, I'll give you one more. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go therefore and make disciples. Another one of these character qualities that you can find in that list in verses 5 through 7 is this character quality of knowledge. And whenever this word knowledge here, it's referring to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's referring to knowing God and pursuing God in His Word. That's okay, buddy. And pursuing God in His Word, getting to know God through His Word, and learning things about God, learning how God wants you to live and how He wants you to run your life, how He wants you to run your family, and all of these things. It's the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which takes an abundant study in the Word of God. Are you pursuing knowledge so that you can be useful and productive in the ministry of God, so that He's just working this knowledge up in you and increasing it like crazy so that it's just pouring out of you? Because that's what's there. You know, that's what discipleship is. Teaching other people, new believers in particular, who God is and things about God, letting them get to know Him. Letting them see how He wants them through His Word to live their lives. What He wants them to look like. What He wants their family to look like. All of these things. That's what discipleship is all about. I'm so encouraged by so many of our church family who are so passionate about this and have pursued this knowledge. I talk to so many of you. I mean, there's a few of you that I know that just verses, God's Word is just coming out of you. It's like crazy. You know, I said to someone the other day, I've never heard that verse before, but it was a good one. That's awesome. Some of us, listen to me, some of us, is there one or a few in here who in your heart you know that you refuse to disciple people? Because you know the truth that you do not know the Word of God the way you should. You have not pursued the knowledge of God. And therefore, you do not have the answers. Because God has not increased it. He's not blessed it. He's not blessed it in your life. Because you've not pursued it the way He's asked you to. Church family, we can be useful and productive tools in the army and family of God. This is the number one blessing that he talks about. Are you being a productive tool and a useful tool in the hand of God? This is the number one blessing that he gives. Let's move on to number two. As we move on here in these verses. Second blessing or result from us going after this life, working at this life that He has given us, that He wants us to pursue, making every effort towards this. And this is where, before I tell you what this is, this is where I've gotten really nervous about today. Because this is an extremely important topic and blessing. Not that the other one's not important, but this one, I believe, has created so much confusion for so long. And what I would like to do is just really take our time to walk through these verses and just really get the teaching of God. For here is the second blessing and the second result of pursuing this Christ-like character qualities in life. Point number two today. God will give us the blessing of assurance of salvation. God will give us the blessing of assurance of salvation. Whenever we choose, as believers, as children of God, to pursue these Christ-like characteristics and walk in obedience to Him, the second blessing is assurance that I truly am a child of God. Do we understand, I want to say this publicly, based on the truth of God's Word, do we understand that it is God's will for everyone, every one of His children, everyone who has bowed the knee to Him and received Him as Savior, it is His will that all of His children know for a fact and do not doubt that they are truly children of His. Do we know that? That is a true statement based on the Word of God. It is not His will, it is not God's will for His children to doubt and to have and have doubting thoughts and to wonder if they are truly His children. That is not the will of God. There are so many people, and I think that this is a false statement, there are so many people who just think that God is up there playing guessing games with them. Are you saved? I'm not going to tell you. You figure it out. What do you think? That's not what God is doing. My wife plays guessing games with me. Some are fun, some are not fun. The one that is not fun at all is when she comes up to me and she goes, "Hey, I stepped on the scale today." Have your wives ever done that to you, gentlemen? What do you think it said? I'm like, I'm not going to guess on that one, okay? I am not going to guess on that one. Sometimes she'll call me and say, "Hey, I'm out shopping." I'm like, "Oh, that's great news." and hey, I'm out shopping, and hey, I bought this. You'll never guess how much I paid for it. Now, oftentimes, that's a good guess, because she would not be calling me if it wasn't going to be a good guess. So I like that. But the point is, here's the point. This is not what God does with His children. Whenever it comes to helping them to be confident that they are truly His children. This is not what God does. If you are playing guessing games, you are playing them with yourself. I'm sorry. You're playing them with yourself. God is not a part of them. It is God's desire that every one of His children, knows for a fact that they truly are His children. Let's look at verses 9 and 10 and see what Peter has to say on this topic. I'd like to talk for just a couple minutes later on here at the end about an unsaved person. Because here's the fact of the matter. If we are struggling with doubts of our salvation, you cannot, it is so important that you do not rule out the fact. You must ask yourself this question: have I been saved? Have I become a Christian? Have I allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to cover and forgive my sins and to adopt me into His family? You have got to answer that question. Salvation, listen to me, salvation is not a relationship between you and anybody except God. It does not matter what anybody thinks. It only matters what God knows to be true. So I want to talk about that here in a couple minutes, but first I want to talk about 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. And see how this gift plays out in our lives. This gift of assurance of salvation that God makes available to all of His children. But it takes a pursuance. It takes a pursuance. We as children of God do not get assurance of salvation just because we come to know Him as Savior. That's obviously not true, because we talk to people all the time, at least I do every now and again, who I believe are true Christians, but they have no assurance. And they're struggling with that. So, how does one know for certain? What is the assurance that God has provided for His children, that they are truly His children? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, and by the way, I think it's very important to point out here, right before we move on, that he's obviously talking to believers here. He's obviously talking to believers. Whenever he says that he was cleansed from his former sins, he's talking about someone who has been cleansed, who doesn't still need to be cleansed, but has been cleansed. He also goes there in verse number 10, where he says, therefore, brothers. So he is talking to believers here. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. We're going to take this verse apart. We're going to take these verses apart here for a couple of minutes. But right before we do that, I just want to point out this immediately. From reading these verses, do you realize that assurance of your salvation as a child of God is directly tied to your remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for you and living in light of what He has done for you and seeing God work in your life? That is what our assurance that we are truly children of God is directly tied to. By the way, God is not out to lunch on this, if I can put it that way. God is not confused about this. Do we understand that? Because I think sometimes whenever, if we're a Christian and we're kind of struggling with doubts and stuff, we kind of think that maybe God's struggling with doubts too. God is not struggling with any doubts on whether or not you are His child or not. God knows exactly who His children are, and He knows if you are His child or not. He is not confused about it. This assurance is totally 100% for you and for me, His children. It is directly tied to our remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for you and I and living in light of what he has done for us and seeing God work in our lives. I'm so glad we celebrate Christmas. It's probably my favorite time of year. I'm almost sad that it's over. I wish it went through May. Think of all the gifts you would get. Not really. How many of you would just be honest and say, hey, by the way, I listen to Christmas music all year round? Anybody would admit that? Thank you very, very much. Don't you ever judge these people, okay? This is really, really good. This is really good. You go right ahead and do that because it is so important. Listen to me. As believers, as children of God, it is so important that we never lose sight. That we never lose sight of what Jesus Christ has done for us. It is so important that we continue to keep that before us. Always. Always. That Jesus Christ came. He was born when he did not have to be. My lands, aren't you thankful for that? He came to save us from our sins. He lived the perfect life. And then he died to give his life as a ransom for yours and for mine. And paid the penalty for our sins. Wow. And it is so important that we forever keep that before us. And never lose sight of that. What it means here, whenever it says that whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. That literally means that he's squinting so hard. This person is squinting so hard that he can no longer see. And because he can no longer see, how many of you, whenever you can't see something, it's not long before you forget about it? Maybe I'm the only one who's like that. You can't, you've totally lost sight of it. This individual has totally lost sight of what Jesus Christ has done for him to the point where he has forgotten about it. Where he's just absolutely forgotten. He's forgotten that Jesus Christ loved him so much that he died for him. He's totally taken his eyes off of that. And the fact that when he came to Jesus Christ and repented of his sins and asked to be saved, that God said yes immediately. Forgave him of his sins and made him one of his children. This child of God has not kept that truth close to him. He hasn't kept a heart of thankfulness and gratitude for what Jesus Christ did for him. He has allowed it to fade from his sight. And now because of his lack of obedience, because of his lack of obedience to the Lord, he doesn't see the power of God in his life. Because of his lack of obedience, and God has not been blessing and changing him, so he sees no change in himself. He sees God not working at all in his life. He knows in his heart, man, my life is not for God. It's really been useless lately. It's really been extremely not productive. I've totally lost sight of what happened to me that day. To the point where he honestly has no idea what happened to him that day anymore. Totally lost sight of it. Totally forgot. This is a blessing that comes to the child of God who will obey God and pursue these godly characteristics. And as a child of God sees God blessing his life, listen to me and I'm almost done, but we need to know this, please. If you are struggling with assurance of your salvation and you know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you know it, but you just can't get that peace of mind, please listen. Please listen. This is for the child of God who cannot get peace of mind. Listen, if we will but pursue obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, have God bless that obedience and have him, and we'll see him increasing these things in our lives as we pursue them, as he's working in us and making us more and more like him. Keeping the cross before us and what Jesus Christ did for us as our total motivation for what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. As that happens in our lives, we will see ourselves become useful and become productive. We'll see God working in our lives. And from that will come the assurance that God desires for every one of His children to be, to have. It is directly tied, according to verses 9 and 10. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent. Be all the more diligent. In other words, give diligence to this. In other words, he's saying, Christian, child of God, give diligence to confirming to yourself that you are a child of God. Give diligence to this. Don't just sit back. This is work. Give diligence to it. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And commentators are all over the book there in that word fall. It obviously doesn't mean you'll never sin, because Scripture clearly teaches that that's not the case. As I take the context here of what Peter is talking about, here's what I take from that. You will never fall. You will never fall from that assurance as you pursue the character of God in your life. Lastly, and I'll just mention this for a moment. Verse 11, point number 3 today. God will give us the blessing of a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom. Verse number 11. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me say this in closing. There are godly men out there who speak to this verse and say that what its meaning is that there will be different welcomings for different people into the kingdom of God. And they get that from 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 3, where it talks about God giving rewards to different people, God trying all believers' works by fire and giving different rewards. To be quite honest with you, I'm not going to stand up here and dogmatically say that, because I just can't quite get that from Scripture, that there's a different kind of welcoming for different Christians who have followed God or not followed God the way that they should. But what I will say is this. As I was studying this verse and reading this, I had this come to me. And it's simply this, that obviously what he's been talking about is life change. Being changed by the grace of God. By your obedience of pursuing Christ-like characteristics. You know something? The Lord is going to come back one of these days. And you know something? When He comes back, none of us want to be caught in a place where we should not be. None of us whenever He comes back, we do not want to be caught where we are in a place where we have forgotten what He has done for us. And are living in a way that bespeaks of our forgetfulness. We're His children. And He loves us and died for us. When He comes back, I want Him to find me pursuing what He has asked me to pursue. Pursuing this obedient, Christ-like life that He is blessing, that he is working a change in me so that these things are coming out of me. This Christ-likeness is just who I have become. I've become a useful and productive tool in His hand that when He comes to get me, I can stand before Him that day, although not perfect, but I can stand before Him with confidence. And He will welcome me in to His kingdom in a glorious entrance that He and I have been waiting for. That's the way I want to be found. Is that the way you're going to be found if He were to come right now? Are we pursuing these Christ-like characteristics as a church family, and from them receiving the blessing and the results of God in our lives. Will you bow your heads with me? I'll ask the pianist to come. As we close, thank you so much for your great attention today. Father, I just want to come before you one last time. Father, I thank you for your words, for the teaching of your word. Thank you for what you've penned down for us. Father, I just want to ask that if there's anyone in here, as the pianist starts to play, Father, I just want to ask, is there anyone in, if there's anyone in here who's just been struggling with doubts? They know that they've been saved. They know they know that you've saved them. They know you that they're your child, but they've just been struggling with doubts from this. And Father, maybe you've spoken to them. Maybe it's because, for lack of a better way to put it, they've chosen to not keep what you've done before them in their sight. And they've decided to go off here for a little bit and live life the way they want to. And so assurance hasn't been a part of their life, and they've struggled with that. Father, I want to ask that you would just guide that individual. I want to ask that you would help them to make a commitment today to start to pursue you again and see you change their life because of it. And receive that blessed assurance that you desire for all believers to have. Father, I also want to ask for this. Father, there may be one in here who doesn't have assurance because they've never received you as Savior. Dear Lord, I pray that they would have no false hope from this message. For Father, if anyone can see the cross before him and walk right by it like it doesn't mean anything, salvation has not happened in that heart. Father, if there's one in here today that's like that, Father, will you tug at their heart, draw them to yourself, help them to know that they are loved by a perfect God who's willing to forgive them and accept them if they will but come to him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to make a little time here. If you'd like to respond today, maybe you want to respond because your lack of salvation, your lack of assurance of salvation, you know, is because of the way you've been living. And the Holy Spirit talked to you about that today. I just want to give a minute. I'm not going to call you forward, but would you just take a moment and talk to the Lord about that? Just him personally, you and him. Make that right. Ask for forgiveness and the ability to pursue Christ-likeness now, and he will give it to you. Maybe there's one in here who you're like, man, I really don't know for sure if I am a Christian. I don't know that I've ever received him as Savior. I'm just going to ask, if that's you in here today, will you talk to someone after the service? Talk to me. Talk to someone you know. There are many people in here who would love to show you how you can be saved. Take a moment just to talk with the Lord. Father, we come before you. Thank you for the for your word today. Father, I pray that you would just guide us now as we end this service. May you guide and keep each one. It's in your name we pray. Amen.